Hey, Evan, what's up, man?
What's going on, Cameron?
Not much. Just got home, and I've been thinking a lot about the future Queen of England, the Duchess of, what is she, the
It's future queen no
Duchess
more.
of Wales or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, the Duchess of Wales.
Is that what she is?
Yeah, probably the future queen no more. Just gonna go ahead and say I don't think she is of this earthly plane any
Really?
longer.
I think
Nah, I
she's
don't know.
fine.
I don't know. I think she's probably just really sick,
I don't even
and
know if she's
they're.
really sick, I'll be honest with you. I think she's probably fine. I think this is just like them being weird and bad at what they do.
I don't know, man. I mean, they said that she just had that routine surgery, but it clearly wasn't routine. I think we talked about this like last week or something like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't routine because they had to cancel a bunch of engagements and whatnot. And there was also apparently like the last time she was seen in public was in December, and on that night there was a convoy seen going from their palace to the hospital. Like a
Yeah.
royal convoy. So I'm
Yeah, they can
guessing
do
she.
everything in a convoy.
But it was to the hospital. And then,
Yeah,
like,
but
a
I'm saying
month.
including going to
Okay,
the
but
hospital.
listen for what I'm saying. And then they said, like, a month later, they're like, oh, yeah, she just has a routine planned surgery. But then they had to cancel all of her engagements. And they said that she wasn't going to be, that she wasn't going to be making any appearances until after Easter. But if it was like a routine, like planned thing, they wouldn't have had engagements scheduled for her like right after that. You know what I mean? And like if this was a planned thing, they wouldn't have scheduled things for like that same week that they then had to cancel. So I'm just guessing she probably has some kind of like they said it was a routine like abdominal surgery. I'm guessing it probably was something more, not just routine, not just unplanned,
I
but
hope she
like.
got huge fake tits, like
Or
huge.
a
And
BBL.
there was like a problem with it, and she had to go back because
Botched
like one of them
BBL.
burst or something. Yeah, like
Yeah.
one of the booty cheeks is sagging or something.
Yeah. But
Like, I
yeah, I mean,
hope when she
honestly.
comes back, she's like fucking stacked, dude.
Yeah.
Like gross.
Yeah.
You
But
know,
no, I'm
that'd be
guessing
cool.
she probably was just like really sick with something.
Yeah, or dude, it could have been any number of things. It could be that she like was having some like loose skin from having babies like taken off, and there was a complication with that. It could be a million things, you know what I mean? Like maybe she was having surgery because she found out she was like prone to cancer in her family or something. Lots of people do that. Like,
Yeah.
you know, preemptive, you know, abdominal surgery could be any number of things. It could be a hysterectomy, it could be an appendix, you know? Maybe
But
her
that's
appendix
why,
burst.
yeah, but appendix burst is like, that's like a turnaround time of like 1 week. Like,
Well, if it bursts, it's actually really serious.
yeah, it is, but still, like that happened to my mother,
Yeah.
and like she was like going septic, and she was just like back to normal within like a week, you know what I mean? But yeah, no, I mean, it was like I'm just guessing it's something a lot more serious than they said. Like, I'm not saying I don't actually think she's dead or anything like that. Although, hey, maybe she might be
I mean,
dead,
she could be, yeah.
or she could just had like a botched adrenochrome injection and her
Right.
lizard skin is sloughing off,
Yeah.
like some kind of scalar infection. But yeah, no, I mean,
She had to
like,
have her gizzard removed.
yeah,
It wasn't grinding seeds properly.
yeah, right, yeah. But yeah, no, and then like I'm just assuming it's like a lot more serious, obviously, than they let on.
Yeah. I mean,
I mean, it has to be if
it's hard to
this
tell,
clearly.
though, like, because they could also just be being fucking dramatic.
Yeah, I don't know, but then like the
Their whole
clearly.
existence is predicated on like pomp and circumstance, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. But and then you have like obviously the clearly photoshopped picture that they released yesterday. That they have since admitted was photoshopped, but this is like a fucking hack job. It's like somebody's like fucking stoned like nephew who's in like high school, like first fucking around in Photoshop. And they try to make it out like it was Kate Middleton herself that was doing the photoshopping. And it's like, dude, I'm sorry, I don't see the Duchess of Wales just dicking around on Photoshop at like 11 p.m. or
0%
something.
chance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody that thinks that she's directly like interfacing with her Twitter audience
Yeah.
is wild.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Why does
But
she sign it with a C?
I assumed that was just a typo because there was no
No,
space.
that was on a couple of the tweets,
Yeah,
right?
but there was like no space in between the period and the C.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sign with
But
a
But yeah, like, oh, all the...
it's because her full name, they spell Kate with a K for whatever reason, but her name is spelled with a C. It's Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine.
But
yeah,
I, you know, that's weird that it's not Kate with a C.
Yeah,
interesting.
So yeah. So anyway, yeah, they tried to make it out like she photoshopped the picture herself. And dude, this is like a total fucking hack job. Like the window panes are like freehand cut, or like somebody like cut something out from the window pane like that was in front of it. And like, so it's like all jagged, like,
yeah,
instead of just using like the line tool or whatever. And yeah, I sent you something today.
I think it would be interesting if it really was just her.
Yeah.
Like she was just like, oh, this is nice. Like then, a suburban fucking mom.
But then there was the picture that came out of her this week in a car where she looks, that looks like a mannequin. Like she's dead. But like it's like that picture of Prince Philip that came out like a year before
it's
he died.
Not
where
it's not like
where
that.
He looked
it's
like
nothing
he had,
like you said that
he hadn't had adrenochrome in fucking decades at that point.
Yeah, I mean he was like white knuckled onto like life in that picture. That's
like he
was
getting straight
like
up baby spine injections.
And
that
was also that like
point.
A close up of his like horrible ghoulish face.
No, he straight up had an IV drip of baby spines.
I'm sure that whoever took this photo of Kate Middleton took, you know, they have those like rapid, like whatever, like paparazzi, and they just snap, you know, when every time they hold it down, it just snaps pictures. Somebody probably took 50 photos of her driving down that lane and was like, oh, this one's the most fucked up. Like, let's use that.
But then, so then they released a picture again today, and it's like one of those ones that clearly they told the paparazzi to release. So like the paparazzi released one today, like, oh, look, Kate Middleton in the car with Prince William. And she's not even facing the camera. It's like she's looking away, so you only see the back of her head. It's like, what the fuck are these people doing, dude? Like, they're like, I think I sent you that one. I can't remember. But yeah,
I'm looking right now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but like, yeah, they released one today. It's just like, oh yeah, Kate Middleton taking a ride with Prince William, and literally, yeah, it's just the back of her fucking head. Yeah, I did send you it. Yeah, that's the one that they chose to release today.
Oh yeah,
to further assuage concerns, and you can just see her ear and like the corner of her lip.
Yeah,
and eye.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, consider everybody's concerns assuaged, royal family.
Oh,
you have
man.
Done well.
Yeah, they did a good job.
But yeah, with all of the other royals like dying or dead, there's definitely some lizard scourge going down. Okay. Like there's that one who's like, I think like a cousin of, or like a kid of one of Elizabeth's cousins who like died, and he was like shot in the head, and they said that he died of blunt force trauma with a gun found nearby. And then there was, let's see, there's the one who's in the Greek royal family, but it's the same royal family, who died, and Prince William just,
well, it's
like,
not the same royal family.
Well, it's the same royal family as Prince Philip.
As Prince Philip, right? So they are genetically
related.
So
if they're in their
family,
so now...
It's not their royal family, because they claim,
well, what I mean by that is they're related by blood to, like, Prince William and shit.
Yes, okay.
But, so, like, there
I'm
was
just,
that...
Get your facts straight. That's all. I'm just saying.
They were straight. That was correct.
No, but they're not from the House of Windsor.
That's their family.
They're not the
their
House
family.
Of Windsor.
I didn't say they're the House
you
of Windsor.
You said
they're
the same royal house.
I didn't say house. I said it's the same family.
You said the same royal family.
Still, they're the same family.
Well,
your cousins are still your family.
Yes,
your
they
cousins
are
still your family.
But I'm saying they're not considered the same royal family.
My bad.
Cameron. Oh, stop. That's 100% something you would have called me out on, too.
Absolutely
relax.
Not, dude. I said they're the same family. Regardless, this dude died, and Prince William is just like, actually, he was going to go to his funeral. He's like, actually, I won't go to his funeral. Obviously, you have Prince Charles, who's like, choosing to use, like, cinnamon and coriander to treat his fucking prostate cancer.
Which, you know,
hey,
might work.
It. Might, maybe.
Maybe it'll work.
Clearly, modern medicine.
I think you should sprinkle colloidal silver on it.
Yeah, that'd be sick. Yeah, we need a blue king.
Yeah, or maybe he's trying aged urine.
Maybe, yeah, he might be doing some aged urine therapy.
Say, this cup of excrement has a rather piquant flavor. It's rather more delicious than I expected.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say, Camilla?
Yeah, just his teeth just yellow with piss dripping. Yeah. There's that, and then... yeah, who else? Is there anybody else? I can't remember. Oh, yeah, then there's, I think it's one of Camilla's family members is, like, really sick or something like that. I can't remember. But anyway, yeah, so the scalar plague has descended upon the royal the royal family.
Maybe they've got scale rot.
Yeah.
Which is I know geckos can get that. I used to have geckos.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's start the show.
Good riddance. I hate those people.
Yeah. Well, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them.
Fuck them. Let's start the show. Let's start the show.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. Show.
So yeah, maybe the lizards are dying, and you know who else died? Were you ever a Dragon Ball Z or a Dragon Ball guy?
Oh, of course I was. I was I'm a millennial male, of course.
Well,
of course.
Not everybody was. I'm frequently surprised when I ask that question, especially this past week. Not everybody was, but I think you're right to respond that way because, you know, to my mind, pretty much every. Certainly most young men and probably lots of young women and you know, non-binary folks were heavily influenced by the Dragon Ball shows, Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, namely. And creator of that franchise, Akira Toriyama, just died. And, you know, I was surprised.
He was pretty young, too.
He was like 58. Yeah.
I think he was 68.
He was 68?
I think so.
That would make more sense.
That's still pretty young. And also, like, pretty young for that, because, like, Dragon Ball...
He was born in 55, not 65.
Yeah. Yeah, because the first Dragon Ball came out, like...
Yeah, 58 would have been... He would have been really young when that came out. It came out in the like, the early 80s.
Yeah.
But, yeah, crazy. And he... what did he die... Hold on. Oh, yeah. Subdural hematoma.
Yeah, brutal.
Yeah, which is like a blood pooling in the brain, usually from a brain injury.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he like fell or.
Yeah, some kind of.
Apparently he had a brain tumor. He had a brain tumor and it triggered an internal bleed before he had surgery, and then he.
Damn.
Unfortunately, passed. But it's tough because I realized how much I fucking loved that show when I was a kid.
Yep.
And I can't watch it now. It's unwatchable to me now.
I watched what's the shortened version of it?
Dragon Ball Kai?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. I had watched like the first couple or maybe three seasons of that, maybe like 8 years ago or something like that. Definitely much more watchable.
Yeah, I mean there's so much filler in Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. And yeah, because that was shortening it down to like 10 to 20 episodes of like 20 minutes each where like you actually get plot movement.
Right.
not just like it's powering up for like 50 episodes.
Yeah, it was like brutal. But as a kid, it didn't even bother me, dude. It would be like, oh man, when he finally fucking fights Frieza. But I will tell you this. I have, since he died, gone back and watched just some like clips of like key moments. Because I think I stopped watching Dragon Ball Z after the Cell saga.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I ever got through the Cell saga.
I definitely did, and I remember viscerally Gohan going Super Saiyan 2. Yeah. And like that fucking awesome scene where like Goku, who's dead because he gets killed by Cell, Goku's ghost like stands behind Gohan while he like one-hand Kamehameha'd Cell to death. And being like, all right, that's the sickest shit I've ever seen in my life. And then it very quickly fizzled after that. And I know that it's, you know, there's a whole other series, what is it called? Dragon Ball Super, that is relatively recent, and people still are all about it. Like, folks are still into it. Huge cultural thing. But yeah, man, that show was big for me. It kind of was like a pivotal, at like a really important stage in my life. I was like 11, 10, 11, you know, just really into fucking Dragon Ball Z.
Me too. I also really liked Monster Rancher. That one was cool. I watched that one when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, Monster Rancher was cool. Digimon was cool.
Digimon was all right. I watched it. It was kind of like, you know.
I loved Pokemon. The show I was, obviously, like, okay on, but I loved those games. And so, like, the whole extended universe I was into. Pokemon Gold and Silver, to this day, masterpiece. Masterpiece.
Masterpiece.
But speaking of games, Akira Toriyama also was the lead designer on Chrono Trigger. Fucking amazing game.
Yeah, I've never played it. I always wanted to when I was a kid.
You never played Chrono Trigger?
No.
That is surprising. That's got you written all over it. You should play that now. You would really like it.
I think I own it on PC.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you do. No.
I was really into Golden Sun when I was a kid on Game Boy. Golden Sun 1 and 2, fucking Fire Emblem.
Golden Sun was cool. Yeah, you were a Fire Emblem guy. You just played one of the recent ones, I remember.
Yeah, they're definitely different.
It's like a hentai dating sim now, right?
Well, there is one game that is basically that. Yeah. It's called, like, Three Houses. And this one is definitely very how should I say, desu.
Sure.
It's just, like, it's very anime-y.
Are they, like, tactics RPGs?
Yeah, it's, like, tactical turn-based RPG. So, like, kind of like Wasteland, you know what I mean? Like, Wasteland 3.
Right, or, like, Final Fantasy Tactics or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's, like, a tactical turn-based RPG. Every like, you just, like the old games especially, it's basically just all during, like, actual, like, matches. And, like, the first one has, like, 30 chapters, second one has, like, 20.
Yeah.
Then there's the one for GameCube and the one for Wii, which I still own the one for Wii, and those games apparently sell for an insane amount of money. Huh. Especially the GameCube one. But I had never owned the GameCube one. I only borrowed it from somebody when I was a kid.
Should have kept it so you could sell it.
Dude, like, they literally sell for, like... Like, the game itself, you can sell for, like, over $100 or something like that.
Wild.
Yeah.
You know what was a game that I love that you can't buy for less than, like, $200?
What?
Lunar 2.
Huh.
Lunar 1, they've ported to other things, but for some reason, Lunar 2, there's, like, RPGs that I think originally were out for, like, the Sega CD or the Sega Saturn or something. And but ported to PlayStation, and both fantastic. And Lunar 2, you can buy the PS1 version, but it's so fucking expensive.
Yeah, and yeah, it's funny. So when I moved, to Providence, I found my old Game Boy Advance SP, the red one, and it still had Fire Emblem Sacred Stones in it, and still works.
There you go.
Yeah, so I could sell that for a fucking lot of money, but I wouldn't, because that's cool. I should find my other Game Boy games, though.
I want to find Pokemon Heart Gold.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
I've been really tempted by those little... you see them advertised, like those little, they look like a Game Boy, but it's like like an emulator player. And some of them come preloaded with, like, you know, 800 games. And and they're not that expensive. I've been pretty tempted, but I don't know. I feel like I would buy one and then it would just sit there for, like,
the you'd rest play of it for like 5 hours one day.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm burping, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I muted the microphone for that.
No, I'm saying I am too, though. Like,
yeah.
My cousin gave me a bunch of these Notch non-alcoholic IPAs. Yeah. And you know what? Pretty good.
Doing the trick?
I guess so, yeah. You know what's funny? I was really, when I was still a drinking man, I was pretty over the IPA thing. Largely because they make you feel like shit, right? Like... Yeah. So bloated and full. And the non-alcoholic ones, they have that hoppy flavor, but they're so much lighter. Like, they just don't fill you the same way because there's no booze in there.
Do you ever get the hop waters?
Those are just all right for me.
I love those. Those are so good.
Yeah.
Lagunitas hop water.
Yeah, it's not my thing. But I've tried them. They're fine. But if I'm going to get, like, a seltzer water, that hop flavor isn't my fave for that.
Ooh.
I prefer it in an NA beer.
Yeah.
But this is good. It's pretty good. Notch is a local brewery up in Salem. They make good stuff.
Excellent. Yes. Very good.
What the fuck else is going on? I'm working on a couple different ideas actually right now. And I know I told you about one of them, but that I think I'm going to put on the back burner just because, I don't know, I went back and re-listened to... I've been wanting to do more episodes on Iran, like, and the coup that ousted Mohammad Mossadegh, and then like the exploits of the Anglo-Iranian oil company, and then the the Pahlavi Shah dynasty, and then the Islamic Revolution, and it's an interesting period to me. But you know, Evan touched on the Mossadegh coup pretty extensively in a previous episode, and so I don't know, I just haven't really been sure where to start with it. But I'm also thinking about
it's American Utopia Part 4.
Yep. And you also talk about the coup in Guatemala. It's like the CIA when they were first like, oh, we can just like topple governments.
Yeah, we just we don't even have to fuck around.
It's like not even that hard.
Give people money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I remember because I remember in the Iran episode. I talk about, too, like, it started with, like, riots in the streets, and then, like, within just a few days, the CIA got their own people to be doing the riots, and, like, people were, like, arrested with straight up just, like, U.S. dollars in their pockets, because, like, the CIA was just, like, literally paying people to riot.
It was interesting. One of the main groups of people that that they got to riot was, were, like, these traditional, like, street performers and like weightlifters, and I forget what they're called. They're the something giants, is what they're called. And they were just like buff, fucking really buff dudes who like were into like traditional Persian fitness regimens, would also like perform as like street performers, but also like would often get hired as like muscle by like local gangs and shit. And the CIA, so like there's this like huge political rally going on, and they're led by like, no joke, like jacked circus performers, like juggling and shit, and like swinging giant, like weighted clubs around, and like, but like fucking people up.
It
sounds like it was such a bizarre time. So I don't know. That whole period is really interesting to me, and I just don't want to like completely retread previous territory. So I don't know. So I'm working on that, but I've also, you know, I've been reading about is King Leopold II of Belgium's exploits in Africa, which are, you know, arguably...
That would be a dour episode.
Oh, yeah. Well, but I think that the timing is kind of apt because it's sort of like, you know, arguably the first European genocide of the modern era, or one of, you know, Germany also can lay claim to doing some awful things in Africa during this period. But
yeah, like Namibian shit.
Yeah. But... I don't know, just a fascinatingly dark chapter, and not that long ago. Don't believe me if I tell you, not a word if this is true. Don't believe me if I tell you, especially if I tell you I tell you that I wrote this song for you. There's just not been some other silly pretty girl I'm singing to. Don't believe a word, for words are so easily spoken, and your heart is just like that promise made to be broken. Single word. Hey, don't try. So I got some stuff milling around, but I don't have either of them ready today. And the Royals thing happened.
Yeah.
And Akira Toriyama's dead.
Yep.
And you got your little squeaky thing going on there.
It's not really squeaky. It's just a squeezy. Just squeezy. Yeah.
Squeezy, not squeaky. I guess it'd be.
It's like it looks like a big purple cell or something.
Yeah. You know what we haven't really talked about on the show yet?
What?
Is Dune 2.
We have not. No. We saw that shit.
Yeah. I loved it.
Me too. Yeah.
Evan and I saw it opening night, which is a little while ago now, but...
Yeah. Yeah, good. 2 weeks ago now, almost. Yeah, almost 2 weeks ago now. Yeah, that fucked. So I'm now finally reading Dune Messiah. And, yeah. Yeah, about, like, only, like, 50 pages into it, but, got some really weird shit already.
I started listening, or I started rereading Dune last night. I guess this would technically be the third time I've read the book, but it's been close to 10 years since the last time I read it. I read it when I was probably 15, and then I read it when I was in my early 20s, and so it's been a while. So yeah, it's fucking very different from those movies. In tone.
Yeah.
And you know what's one thing that they don't really talk about in Dune 2?
What?
Is like, I mean, and there's some hints, but they don't really talk about how, like, Baron Vladimir is definitely
fucking pederast.
He's definitely fucking Fade Rotha. I mean, they kiss on the lips pretty hard in the movie, but that was apparently
totally improv.
The kiss?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brutal.
Yep.
Yeah, it was something.
Well, yeah, because Baron Harkonnen in the books is, like, a full-blown pederast.
Yeah. He likes just, young boys.
He's fucking
little Every time he mentions right. Paul Atreides, he's like, such a shame, I would have to destroy his supple young body. Like, and they definitely show him, like, kill some ladies for sexual pleasure in this, but they, for whatever reason, they've decided, and maybe it's because they don't want to equate anything nasty with, like, but he's a pedophile.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's okay to be nasty.
Yeah.
He's not a normal, well-adjusted gay man. He's a pedophile. It's okay.
Yeah, they also don't include Fade Rotha's assassination attempt on Baron Harkonnen.
Well, I'm
so they show. Oh yeah. Well, they show Fade Rotha kill all of his lady attendants in the movie.
Yeah.
But the reason he did that in the book is because
one of them was trying to poison him or something.
No, it's because Fade Rotha tried to assassinate Baron Harkonnen because he couldn't wait. He couldn't even wait for the Baron to lay his plans, and the Baron like figures it out, and he's like, listen, okay, I guess I'll explain to you, you fucking moron.
Yeah,
I'm doing all this to put you in power, okay? Yeah. So no more assassination attempts, but as punishment you gotta kill all your friends,
your little
there.
Sycophants.
Yeah. Yeah, so he does that. There's also, it's funny, in the first movie they kind of like hint at they don't show up till Dune Messiah, but the Benny Tlalax, like that weird like spider person thing.
Oh, you think that's what that was?
I've seen people speculate that there are Benny Tlalax. Because, like, you meet a Benny Tlalax in, like, the first, like, real chapter of Dune Messiah.
Yeah. They're, like, the shape changers, right?
Right. Which, also, it's very funny, dude. Like, A Song of Ice and Fire, dude, is, like, so, like, George R. R. Martin apes fucking Dune so hard.
Oh, George R. R. Martin, dude, I was thinking about that actually today.
Because, like, the Benny Tlalax are basically the faceless men. Like, you know what I mean?
And, yeah, and they do not... George R. R. Martin is kind of dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like those stories are just, like, in a lot of ways, they, like, ape other established series.
Yeah.
And or just, like, draw heavily from history. And none of those things independently are, like, a big deal. But, like, it's just not super-duper original. And, I don't know. I just don't know if I still, like, in hindsight, think that they're particularly good.
Oh, I do. I still think they're great.
I know you do.
I love those books. But, like, also, it's, like, it's tough to, like, I mean, it's there's, like, a tough line. I think he's just, like, definitely just super inspired by it. And he wears his inspiration on his sleeves. Like, there's still plenty different in there. And plenty original in there. It's just like there's also like you can tell, like what his inspirations are.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. And the thing about Dune, I guess, is that it's like so singular and so foundational to science fiction that it's like Lord of the Rings, right?
It's difficult to like, you know what I mean? Like like Star Wars is like totally aped from fucking Dune as well.
Star Wars
I mean?
Is Dune light, dude. It's got And there are things that are really cool about Star Wars, like laser swords are rad. You know, lightsabers are very cool. George Lucas can absolutely, I think he almost deserves his place in the strata of sci-fi thinkers just for that, because the lightsaber is fucking rad, and like and Darth Vader's cool.
Yeah, Darth Vader's cool.
But like, that's, I don't know. Star Wars is also kind of just,
yeah, I've never been the biggest Star Wars fan.
I like the original trilogy, and I like the movies that came out when we were kids, just because I was a kid and I liked them, so I still like them. But I don't know. To me, I've never understood like the depth of the fan base,
yeah,
and like how like insane people go over Star Wars, because it just feels so fucking tacky. Even like the classics are not like high art; they're very very cheesy.
Yeah, it was funny. I was never really into Star Wars when I was a kid. I don't even think I watched the original. The original three movies, like fully until I was like a teenager. Yeah. Like, I don't know, it just never really did it for me when I was a kid. I liked Lord of the Rings, but so it's just like, I don't know, they're fine, I guess, you know what I mean? I saw episode one when it came out in theaters with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. Oh, and she took me to eat at Kentucky Fried Chicken as well. That day was like the only first time I ever had it.
Which Kentucky Fried Chicken are we talking?
The one that was right near my old house, because...
Yeah, I was going to say, was it that one that was right...
Right,
like, in downtown New Bedford?
Yeah, because my grandma, that's where she lived when I was a kid. Was, hell like, yeah, right near downtown. Yep.
That's a classic KFC.
That is a classic KFC, absolutely. Yep.
I've gotten diarrhea from that KFC several times.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
KFC sounds pretty good, honestly. I'm not going to lie. I haven't had KFC in a long time.
Are you going to get the new cheesa? The
no fucking way. But I will say, I did see the commercial for that on the TV at work the other day.
Yeah.
And it's so hilarious. They like know exactly who their marketing is. It's like who their demographic is, rather, for that. Because it's like a kid who's like clearly like living at home.
Yeah.
You know, like a young kid who's like looks like a stoner. And he's just like hanging out, and he's about to eat it. And his like grandmother walks in, because they live in the same house. And she's like, that's not a pizza. And he's like, I don't know. And then he just fucking eats it. And it's like, it's chicken pizza. And I was like, okay, fuck yeah. So they basically know this is for fucking morons, right?
I think if you order that, you should be immediately sentenced to 1 year hard labor.
I think you should be sentenced to go like work in a pizza shop in Italy. And every day part of your sentence is that you have to try to pitch the chizza.
And just get fucking beaten with beaten with the fucking like wooden
the pizza paddle.
The pizza paddle.
Dude, can you imagine getting spanked like bare ass with one of those bad boys?
I can imagine it.
I can imagine it.
Well, I'm gonna light some candles and imagine it later on, dude.
Oh my god. Well, so Dune 2 was sick.
I really loved
Dune 2. And it's funny, like, I think it's a really apt time for that film to be releasing. I think that the basic message of it let me backtrack before I say what I'm about to say, because I think the actual message of Dune is pretty radically different from like the surface level interpretations you can get from like the imagery of Dune. And so what I mean to say is that I think the imagery of Dune is very apt right now, of like people who are very clearly modeled off of Middle Eastern and North African populations rising up against imperialist oppressors looking to exploit their land for resources is pretty rad. That being said, there have been like some tremendously bad takes about Dune.
Oh my god, dude. People have the worst fucking takes. Like,
people are so fucking stupid.
I know. It's like, that's like the Star Warsification. Like, they literally need a character named Dark Father.
Yeah, right.
They're fucking like,
they need
to name it that. You literally need to name it the light side and the dark side to get it.
People are so Marvel-pilled. That it's like, if your main character isn't like explicitly called like Captain America, you're not going to know who to fucking root for.
Yeah.
And so I'm hearing all these awful takes, and the one that really gets me is when people are like, you know, Lady Jessica is appropriating this native culture to, and it's like, yeah, you're not critiquing the writing by pointing this out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're not supposed to think the woman that keeps going, son, you need to do a genocide. You deserve to do this genocide.
Yeah, dude.
She's not a good person.
Yeah, but also like you're not like pointing out flaws or racism in the writing by pointing it out. You're just analyzing her character. You are correctly characterizing her. She is doing that. That's the plot.
Yeah, no, like these people need the person who makes the movie to like look them directly in the eye at the end and say, I actually don't support the actions of the characters
in
this movie.
You're not supposed to either. You're supposed to be confused about the motivations behind this jihad that's coming.
Yeah.
And like, wait, is Paul a good guy? Excellent question. He's definitely like the Ubermensch, right? Like he's definitely like the pinnacle of like human evolution.
Yeah.
Who knows if he's good? He's gonna do the thing. You know? Like his
destiny. I'll just say his mom keeps saying, you need to do the genocide. Here, drink this water and you'll see what I mean. And he drinks the water and he goes, genocide.
You know, suddenly not seeming like
maybe
such
it doesn't
a bad
sound
idea.
So bad.
Yeah.
Perhaps you should be wondering.
Prior to that, he's like, I shouldn't go down there. I don't want to have to do this. Every time I think
I know
about
if
it,
I drink the water,
to
I'm going to
do
the
bad
genocide.
Things. Yeah. And then when he goes down there and he has to do bad things, everybody's like, wow, you really shouldn't have done that, huh? And it's like, But I mean, at the end of the day, does he bring about a golden age of galactic order and fucking equality? Yeah. But at what
and
cost?
And he trips dick constantly while doing it.
Yeah. he fries his fucking brain to become, like, the super psychic, like, warlord of the fucking known universe.
Yeah.
And is it worth it?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? But he does it.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to find out. I hope they keep making them. I thought it was so much fun. I thought it was such a fun movie.
Yeah.
And they, you know what they captured? There are a lot of things about the design of the movies. And, like, I understand a lot of the critiques where people talk about, like, how washed out and bland things look. I kind of sympathize with that. And there are a lot of things about the Lynch Dune.
Yeah.
Like, costume design and shit and
that
special effects.
Rules.
That really rule. I think those movies are goofy. Like, that movie is goofy as hell. And I don't think it's, like, it doesn't capture the tone of Dune, like, really at all. But it captures the look that I had
weirdness.
In my mind when I was
and
that so that
like
part,
the fucking big brain guild navigator just like
100%.
Floating and like
yeah, it's like
an
it's
orange,
like a giant fetus
fog yeah
it's crazy
which is funny so they describe the guild navigators early on in Dude Messiah and that is not like that's entirely a David Lynch thing like the big floating like brain thing
yeah they look nothing like that
yeah they look like webbed like fish like people kind of, but still like slightly humanoid, and the other guild navigators look like that too. It's just that main guild navigator David Lynch just turned into like a fucking like just like the elder brain,
a turd with eyes, man.
BG3, yeah,
it's a Baldur's Gate was so good, but yeah, it's so I get that. I get the gripes about the aesthetic, but like they. Absolutely nailed like the Fremen vibe.
Yeah.
It's so good. And Stilgar. Mm-hmm. Stilgar's character in this movie.
My boy Javier Bardem, yeah.
He's fabulous. Javier Bardem is always fabulous, but
yeah.
he really captures like the sort of childlike belief and wonder.
Yeah.
And there are so many like actual like laugh out loud moments in the movie. Mm-hmm. But then you step back and you're like, oh fuck, like the implications of him taking advantage of these people is like actually pretty dire.
Yeah.
You know? Because, like, this is a guy who's, like, an elite fucking killer and, like, leads a tribe of elite killers who are going to, like, unleash, like, untold violence on the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, like, really stoked whenever Paul does anything. They've, like,
it's
already...
it's like a child on Christmas morning.
They're so programmed that they believe it almost without attempt at this point.
Yep.
And
I also want to give big ups to Austin Butler, who somehow... played, he out-hornied Sting in playing the character Fade Rautha.
Yeah.
Like, dude, his version of Fade Rautha is on the verge of busting at, like, every moment.
Yeah, he's awesome. I thought he was so good.
Yeah.
I really hated the black and white thing. I thought that was... that
on Gaidi Prime?
Yeah. I thought that was boring, but...
Yeah. I also really hated that they cut out Tim Blake Nelson as Count Hasimir Fenring.
Yeah, so that's what. So I remember now because I just started rereading Dune that when the Atreides first arrive on Arrakis, mm-hmm. the house that they move into is Count Fenring's house.
Mm-hmm.
So the Harkonnen's capital was called Kartheg.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not in Arrakeen, which mm-hmm. the Atreides make that, their capital. No. And yeah. When they move in, it's Count and Lady Fenring's abode that they move into.
Yeah, and Count Fenring's not in it much. But this is also like a way that like Dune is very similar to A Song of Ice and Fire, is that like they'll give like an entire chapter that's in the head of like a character, and then like you just won't, and so you'll get their thoughts, but like they won't really appear again until like a critical moment in the end.
Right.
And like, so I guess spoiler, Count Fenring, he's like, he watches the fight between Fade Rautha and those, the drugged, like gladiators basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like watching it all, and Count Fenring is he's a eunuch, he's been castrated, but he was like a potential Kwisatz Haderach when he was younger that just didn't turn out to be, and so he's like watching that whole thing, and you can tell he's like figuring out everything, and like kind of figuring out that Fade Rautha is a potential Kwisatz Haderach, and that Paul is a potential Kwisatz Haderach, and then at the end of the book, he's supposed to appear again in that fight right in front of the Emperor. And right when Paul's about to kill Fade Rautha, the Emperor tells him, like, Fenring, fucking kill him. Stop him. And, like, you get Fenring, and he's sitting there. He's watching all of this play out, and you can see him just go, no, I don't think I will. I want to see what Paul does.
Yeah.
And he chooses not to. He's like, nah, he can kill Fade Rautha. Like, and that's like, so it's like a small but like very crucial part, and they just didn't have that in the movie.
Yeah, which
they
is did odd. Have
they did yeah, and apparently Tim Blake Nelson was like devastated because he loved doing it, and he didn't find out until like right before the movie released that he had been cut, and it was just a small part. So and Denis Villeneuve has a rule that he never releases deleted scenes, so we'll never see that.
There will never be like a director's cut or whatever.
No, that
the version that we get is the director's cut.
Yeah, exactly. He's the one who decided to cut stuff from it to shorten it, which really sucks.
I think that movie could have. Here's the thing: those movies could both benefit from the Lord of the Rings treatment. Like the extended, like the theatrical cuts of Lord of the Rings were fantastic, and the extended editions are perfect. Right. Yeah. So, like, why not? Why can't we have it?
I know. I want to see Count Fenring, especially since they have Margot Fenring.
Yeah.
And the Lady Margot.
Well, what are you gonna do? I thought it was great. Two thumbs way up. You guys should go see it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
What else was going on?
Oh, well, there were the Oscars last night.
I know nothing about them and watched not one second of it.
John Cena announced the category completely naked.
Hell yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, he just held the card over his boys.
Why did he do that?
I think it was a bit because he announced for best costume, so he decided to go costumeless.
Huh.
Interesting.
That's pretty fucking cool. Good for
him. Yeah, I haven't seen every movie from last year that I want to see yet. I haven't seen Jonathan Glazer's The Zone of Interest. However, he did. So Jonathan Glazer is Jewish.
Of his speech. So actually, I did see.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, he did this movie, The Zone of Interest, which is basically about like a Nazi like high commander whose like family lives like right outside Auschwitz, and like the whole movie is just like a little drama. From what I haven't seen it yet, but it's like a basically like family drama, except you just hear people being like mutilated and tortured the entire time because they're right outside Auschwitz. And so in his speech, so he said. Right now, we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people. Whether the victims of October 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack in Gaza, all the victims of dehumanization, how do we resist? And so obviously, and you know, he's a Jewish man, and so obviously, like, a lot of people who are pro genocide on Gaza are like, I mean, like, Meghan McCain, who she can never just shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
she's just such a piece of fucking shit. She just has to insert herself into everything. And she gladly cheers on the fucking genocide. But she, like, tweeted today, a lot of people in Hollywood showing their ass when a man gets on stage to, quote, refute his Jewishness, and half the room claps. Just like, I just, oh my God.
Well, the thing is, he kind of fucked up by wording it in a way that requires...
It doesn't matter. These people are going to, no matter what, find a way.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, he gave them a quote that's incredibly easy to twist.
Yeah, but they're going to do that no matter what.
Of course they are, but why play into their hands, is what I'm saying.
But, so, these people, I just, like... I get, like these people get everything that they want. And it's just, like, it's not enough that they get what they want. It's just this, like, fucking need to be told that they're good people and that the other people are bad people.
Yeah.
Like, I just really do not understand how somebody like Meghan McCain is able to just, like, go to bed at night, like, thinking that she's, like, a good person or on like, the good on, like, side the or side something of like right, that. It's just, like, good, yeah. Like, you're getting what you want, like, you really just also need to have people fucking massage your ego like that, too. Like, you can't just fucking...
Scott cracks open. The walls falling through the floor. Just as well to keep it. I get some game in store. You're with me now. We'll be again. Other points in between. Cool, cool mornings. Turn the days to swim or sink. Living right is easy. What goes wrong, you're causing it. I drown. Didn't want to turn that way. You're causing it. I drown. Doesn't make a difference now. You're causing it. I drown. Silence knows. Can't drown hard. Happenstance is falling through the cracks each day. Too close now to change it. Whose goal is louder anyway? When in doubt, move on. No need to sort it out. You're with me now. We'll be again. Other points in between. I want to find the right side. Living right is easy. What goes wrong, you're causing it. The drown. Didn't want to turn that way. You're causing it. The drown. Doesn't make a difference now. You're causing it. The drown. Silence knows. Can't drown.
Well, I think that's a very important part of, like, the historical whitewashing as it happens in real time.
Yeah.
You know, because the way that these things are talked about 20, 30, 40, 50 years after they happen.
Yeah.
Sure, you can really take your time and kind of distort a narrative like that, right? But
yeah.
I think one of the main ways that things go down these days in the internet age,
mm-hmm.
and that the way that that whitewashing occurs is, like, bombarding the public with, like, demands that you be exonerated in real time.
Yeah.
You know, like, no. It's not enough that this just be, like, that you be complicit and quiet and, like, allow this to happen. Yeah. Everyone needs to get on board and agree with this, not only being, like, inevitable, but being correct.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, so, like, you saw, like, going back to my American Utopia series, I remember in part two, I talk about, like, the Nuremberg trials, and I watched the video that was shown at, like, Hermann Göring's trial, Nuremberg trials, and talked about how, like, Hermann Göring was, like, when he was on trial, he was being very, like, outgoing and, like, talking and joking around and, like, being very charismatic and winning people to his side, and then they showed the video of, like, Auschwitz and everybody, and he got, like, very, like, solemn and, like, upset expression on his face. And basically, like, he said, like, his quote was, like, you know, we were having such a pleasant day until they had to show that terrible video. And it was just like, and then you see like the same thing there. It's just like exterminating people. And like, you're still able to like convince yourself that like you're on the right side.
Yeah.
And it like bums you out when you see the actual fucking cost
of what you're doing. Of course it does. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But even like just... with like piece of shit like that, like that they, you know, they have to still be the good person. Like, I don't know. It's just, I just, like, fuck Meghan McCain. I hate her so much. She sucks so fucking bad. And yeah, but anyway, so yeah, Jonathan Glazer, he gave that speech, you know, basically saying that, you know, like, even though he made the zone of interest before all of this, like, show it, you know, it's about like the occupation and about like the banality of evil, like,
yeah,
so close to like this horror. I mean, it was like that music festival, the Nova Music Festival, that had been attacked, where it was quite literally a music festival with people dancing and taking drugs and everything like that within, like, viewing distance of the Gaza concentration camp. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, it's a level of callousness that can only be achieved, yeah, I think, through, like I'm saying, that, like, active, mm-hmm, whitewashing of the situation. And, like, yeah, convincing these people, like, there's no human tragedy going on over there. Those are animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all they want is to, like, rape and kill and eat you and fucking destroy you.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what's going on over there. Like, mm-hmm, carry on, because you are the bastions of modernity and civilization,
yeah,
surrounded by vicious barbarians.
The barbarians of the East, yeah. Yeah. You're the vanguard of Western civilization, bringing, right, culture to this
godless
region of the
fucking
earth.
Land, yeah.
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 Yeah. Anyway.
So with that, mm-hmm, you know, we'll wish a blessed Ramadan to our, yep, our Muslim listeners and to those struggling in Palestine right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like,
fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so then I still haven't seen Killers of the Flower Moon ever, but took home zero Oscars.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah, I can't believe Lily Gladstone didn't. Like I said, I haven't seen it, but like, I think everybody just assumed Lily Gladstone was going to win Best Actress.
Yeah, Emma Stone won it, right? For
yeah, Poor Things, which I really like. Poor Things.
Yeah.
I get the her better acting performance was in The Curse, but obviously The Curse TV show is not going to, yeah, be on the Oscars. But
she's got chops, man. I like.
Oh,
Emma
she's
Stone.
A great actress. I mean, she was fantastic in Poor Things. She's fantastic, yeah, in The Curse. I think she looked surprised too that she won it over Lily Gladstone. I think, yeah, everybody expected that. However, I do want to give big ups. I haven't seen Maestro yet, but Bradley Cooper is super annoying and creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And he took home zero Oscars. And he looked deranged.
At the Oscars?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I don't know if you've been like reading the quotes that he's been giving lately. But he's fucking psychotic. And like, apparently, and it's like, that like Maestro movie is like just super Oscar bait.
It looks super Oscar bait, yeah.
I've heard it's terrible, yeah.
You know what movie looks fucking awful and is definitely Oscar bait is that fucking Bob Marley movie?
Yeah.
And apparently that movie sucks.
Yeah, it's supposed to suck, but it is making money. I'm very mad about that because I had to sit through that preview before
so many
every
times,
single movie.
Dude.
And that and the fucking Argyle one. However, hysterically, Argyle bombed to make less than $100 million at the global box office against a $200 million budget and probably another $200 million in like marketing. I mean, that movie probably had to make $500 million to break even, and it's made less than $100 million.
Yeah, it's
$100 million.
It's crazy to me that that was even a real movie. Like, I still don't know what the fuck it was, but like watching the previews, it's like,
I hated it.
Huh?
I hated it.
Like, this looks so hateable.
The worst dialogue.
Henry Cavill's fucking Cavill. Is it Cavill or Cavill?
Cavill. Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill's haircut in it.
Horrific haircut. Like, how did you make this man ugly? Like,
right, dude? He's so beautiful.
And he's so ugly in that movie just because the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
gave him, like,
terrible.
This weird flat top with a widow's peak.
Yeah.
He looks like the Boz.
Yeah.
Brian Bosworth.
Yeah. But yeah, no, so there's that. Let's see. Yeah, Anatomy of a Fall, swag movie that won a few awards. The dog was there in attendance, the dog. That was nice.
Dog the Bounty Hunter?
No, the dog from from Anatomy of a Fall.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's a really good movie. But, you should see it.
I watch like 4 movies a year, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's great. I like that movie a lot. But yeah. I didn't even watch the Oscars because I don't have live TV, so I had to just follow along on Twitter.
The Oscars doesn't interest me in the slightest. Like, never has. I don't understand the big deal with it. Because I feel like it's the whole thing is fucking bullshit anyway.
Of course it's.
You know?
But I watch bullshit all the time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's just not the kind of bullshit I like.
I guess so.
You know, I like other bullshit. I like different bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like this show. I like doing this show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is more my kind of bullshit.
And like real bullshit? Like you're always out there picking up cow patties and shit, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. That's where
flinging
the
cow patties.
That's where the mushrooms grow.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Hell gotta pick through that if I want to have my manufactured spiritual revelations.
Yeah, and play Metal Gear Solid all night.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that sounds like a bad time to me. I feel like doing that indoors and like sitting in front of a screen, I would have a bad trip.
Why? We've done that with Fallout before, and that was a good one.
That's not true. The only time I've ever done that inside with you was the worst trip I've ever had.
No, that's where the excuse me, sir thing comes from. So we were fucking.
Was it that night when I like puked and had to like lock myself in a room and.
I'm not sure if it was that night. I don't think it was that night. It was a different one.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, either way, I'm overdue for an experience.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah.
The weather's getting nice.
It sure is. Yeah, it's very satanic how, like, the winter ended.
I'm just trying to say one good thing, and I get it. I know why it sucks that, like,
it turned to spring by, like, February 20th.
Everybody's like, oh, freaky. Be careful, it's fall spring, and I'm like, well, it's been 3 weeks of it.
Yeah,
so
it's been 3 weeks
of
it.
It might actually just be real spring. Like,
and I'm looking at the weather right now.
There's
and
no
it's
end
like,
in sight,
so
dude.
Thursday,
it's going to be 65 degrees out.
Yeah, dude, it's like, yeah, we're looking at, like, 2 straight weeks of, like, 60s and 50s, but it's just like, yeah, like that. It's like last year when we had that like 3 straight days of 90 to 100 degrees in like early April.
Yeah,
and like I sat outside at this bar.
Yeah, there's no leaves on the trees yet. And
yeah,
it's
like, dude, it's 100 degrees
outside.
I am burning.
But then the rest of the summer it rained.
Yeah,
we had the wettest summer ever here.
Yeah. And it was just constant rain. Yeah, and it was like 100 degrees with no leaves on the trees. And I was just sitting outside. I'm like, dude, this is not good. These are very, very dark vibes right now.
You know, in even in normal years, did you know that we get more rain than Seattle?
I can believe that. Yeah.
Everybody knows Seattle as like the rainy place, and like the Pacific Northwest as being super rainy.
Yeah, but it's just it's their
reputation. But we and I'm not talking about total precipitation. I'm talking about rainfall.
Yeah, it's like the UK though, right? Where it's like always raining, but like lightly.
It's spitting. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, when it rains here, it fucking dumps.
It rains. I mean, New England. It's like whenever it does anything, it fucking does the thing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But we get more rain than they do.
Oh, trust
this past year we certainly did. We got more rain than everyone this past year, but yeah, it was like rainforest shit this past summer. It was crazy.
Oh my god, yeah,
days on end with like
of just like torrential rain.
Yeah, spooky. Yep. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Everything's cool.
It's great too because the entire city of Providence floods, like biblically, anytime it rains.
Yeah.
Like, there are, like, huge sections of the entire city closed off. Me, I live at the top of a hill, so I'm feeling confident about that. But there are other places. Like, I was at a friend's house for the Super Bowl, and her car got totaled, like, 2 years prior. Because she lives, like, she lives right next to a river that goes through the city. Mm-hmm. And the city just hadn't cleaned out, like, the drain parts of it. They just never do that.
Yeah.
And so she was like on vacation and her car got flooded up past the dashboard.
Jesus.
Because the river flooded and it just like, and it totaled her fucking car. Because it was just like parked in like behind in like the driveway of the house.
Yeah. I live really close to the Charles River, but I also live uphill from there.
Yeah.
So we never have any issues here. Like I live on a hill too, but
fuck,
man.
Yep.
Ugh. That would suck. Your car is just full of water.
Yeah, she was like on vacation. Her landlord called her like, hey, sorry. They're like, did you leave a spare key here? It's like starting to flood. And she's like, nope. And they're like, okay. And then like later that day, they're just like, yeah, your car's like flooded, like gone. Like past the dashboard, dude.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, so that's cool.
So, that's cool. That's why you always leave a spare key.
Hell yeah.
You know, trust your neighbors. Yep. You got to know your neighbors, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, great.
Yep. No, that about wraps up.
That about wraps it all up. We've talked about all the important things we wanted to talk about.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And so whatever my next episode is, it will surely be negative and dark, because the only things that I'm working on for research are in the realm of like imperialist dog evil. Shit. So, yeah, evil. So prepare for that. That'll probably be next week. Probably not making any promises, but that's what we're looking at. Mm-hmm. And Evan's got some more stuff cooking in his cabeza. He's
going to do an episode back to the great island of Britannia again.
Yep. The Great Island.
Nope. Yes, Kitty.
Well, I hope you guys have a wonderful week. There will, as always, be links to Twitter, email, Patreon, all these wonderful things. Thank you to everybody that's continued to support us on Patreon, because that has proven to be very helpful, and we appreciate it. And
if you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can, of course, go to patreon.com/leftunread. Can sign up for a small monthly amount to help keep the podcast going, and eventually, once we get to a certain number of subscribers, we'll have perks for everybody, bonus episodes, things like that. But yeah, so put in a lot of work, so it really helps to keep the pod going, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the fact that we haven't quit by now is I think worth money in and of itself.
Yeah, and if you can't support us monetarily, you can support us in other ways. You can rate and review us on your podcast app of choice. That really helps to boost us in the algorithm. And some real pieces of work have given us some 1-star reviews on Apple. So,
wait, really?
Apple Podcasts. Yeah, no, I mean, we still have like a high rating, but like,
is that recent?
Yeah, there's definitely a handful of 1-stars. Huh. So yeah, if you would like to shove it in the faces of those fucking dorks, you can give us a 5-star rating. And whoever gave us a 3-star rating, just fuck off, man. But so give us a 5-star review. And yeah, we spread by word of mouth, so you can tell people about us, tell your friends, tell your coworkers, tell whoever, and that'll really help us out as well. But please give us your money. That's great too.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. And if you have nothing else to add, then I guess we will see you next time.
No, I'm just looking to see if they wrote any reviews.
No, there's no 1-star reviews. It's just ratings. Sons of bitches. All right. See you.
All right, bye.